Just to state this, we're recording this the day after Dr. Merkin's appearance on the 11th hour, the latest one in April, and we had talked about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and Dr. Merkin said, well, you know, whatever is available to you, if they offer it to you, it's better odds than facing COVID. Except today, which is the 13th of April as we're recording this, the CDC said, you know what, we're going to suspend the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. My understanding is this is six cases after about, what, 6.8 million vaccines? Is that correct?
That's correct. One in a million.
Well, is that prudent or is that just erring on the side of caution or what?
No, that's very prudent because you have a whole society where we've had not a single reaction to the messenger RNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna, and we have six cases in the adenovirus. Let me start from the very beginning. There's two types of vaccines available. One is where they give you some genetic material. And the other type is where they give you a different virus, an adenovirus that doesn't harm humans, and attach part of COVID-19 virus to it. Well, there's been no concern about the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. Those are the genetic material vaccines. The concern is about Johnson & Johnson, which is an adenovirus attached to it part of the COVID-19 virus. And even though there's only one in a million cases, the cases are incredibly similar. And what you're not seeing in the newspaper is they found antibodies against platelets in some of the people vaccinated. So nobody's saying anything about that, but the suspicion thing is, yes, it may well be a reaction to the vaccine because they found a blood abnormality in your immunity where you're suddenly attacking your own clotting factor, the platelets.
And this is something we did not know when we were talking about this yesterday.
And nobody's talking about it now either, but because we don't know whether that's really so. But when you find a abnormal clotting factor, even though the side effect is only one in a million, you have to say, oh my goodness, did the vaccine cause the antibody against platelets, which suddenly got a reversive reaction of clotting?
I don't have a dog in the hunt. I don't root for any one vaccine to work. I would hope that they all do and that they all be safe. And you had originally said, take any vaccine that's offered. Well, I was supposed to have the Johnson & Johnson this week, and I was notified by the facility, sorry, you can't come in because we don't have anything else and we can't give you this, according to CDC rules. I've already made other arrangements on getting Moderna next week. But when you look at something like this, if you were to say you had 6.8 million people, six of them had some type of blood clotting, even if they had not been vaccinated, that would be a pretty low number to have gone through something like that.
Right, but you're not hearing about the blood factor, and that's the concern. One in a million is really zero or almost zero.
But the other factors that are now hopefully going to be reported more openly, that may be the problem. The thing I find interesting also is we had the most calls when people were talking about, well, wait, these two other vaccines were derived in some modern high-tech way. I don't want to trust that. Oh, they've got this other vaccine that was done the old-fashioned way. Fine, I'll take the old-fashioned one. And that's the one we're talking about having the problems now.
Well, we're going to have a lot of good coming out of this pandemic. They're using the same messenger RNA, the genetic material. Now we're getting studies just starting to come out on treating cancer with messenger RNA, the same thing, treating a whole bunch of other viruses, malaria, which is still a world pandemic itself after thousands of years. We're talking about mononucleosis, incredibly common herpes. All of these things are going to be treated now, being studied to be treated with messenger RNA vaccines as the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are.
And just to follow up on that, even if there had been a problem with the vaccines, either of those two, and there's not been a serious one reported as there is with J&J, it would not necessarily be in how it was derived. It would be something else wrong with it, if it were there, correct?
No, it can be happenstance. Remember something, the concern is we have two vaccines that we've had 75 million Americans immunized to, and we don't have any reports of these clots. Incidentally, we should describe what it was. The people were fine, and then 2 weeks later, none of them occurred in less than 12 days. 2 weeks later, they suddenly got headaches and blurred vision and signs of a clot in their brain. That's what's so concerning. They were all very, very similar.
All right, because I've talked to people, and like I mentioned on the show that we have upcoming on the podcast, I mentioned there were a couple people on Facebook that I know that had posted, yeah, they got the Johnson & Johnson. Boy, they felt like they were hit by a truck for the first 24 hours after that. They were pretty good.
And so those people are safe, because all six of the reported cases started 2 weeks, 12 to 14 days after the immunization. So immediate reactions are your own immunity building up. That's a normal vaccine reaction, and we don't really show very much concern about that.
So if somebody got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, since it was given in our area, in Blair County and the surrounding counties, as well as the other two, the Moderna and Pfizer, if somebody had it a couple weeks ago, or even maybe a month ago, and they start to feel certain type of symptoms, what do they look for, and what type of action do they have to take medically to help themselves?
We're looking for severe headache. But you can get clots other places besides your brain. You can get a clot in your lungs and have chest pain, or a clot in your leg where you suddenly get severe unexplained pain in your leg, or belly pain. You can get a clot in your belly, or shortness of breath. You get a clot in your lungs. You can get a clot anywhere. But what's characteristic of these cases, they were clots in the brain, and one person died, and the four of the others appear to be recovering, but with consequences.
Okay, so if you feel this, do you call the doctor? Do you go to the ER immediately and say,
forget calling the doctor? You go to the emergency room, and the reason is, when you have a clot, the clot can spread and kill you. So the treatment is to take anti-clotting medicine immediately. So you walk into a knowledgeable emergency room right now and say, I have sudden unexplained chest pain, or I have incredible headache 2 weeks after getting the Johnson. The doctor is supposed to immediately draw a blood test called D-dimer, and if that's high, they have to do a scan, a CAT scan, looking for a clot wherever you have the pain. So it's 2 weeks after your getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you get sudden severe pain anywhere in your body, although these cases reported just to be in the brain, but anywhere in your body, sudden, you go to the emergency room, you get a blood test, which they can give you back within minutes. They're prepared to do the D-dimer test, because that test has been available for finding clots for at least several years now, and the emergency rooms all do that regularly. And if that blood test is high, you get a CAT scan, which is a special x-ray, and if the x-ray shows a clot, you must be anticoagulated, given drugs intravenously to block clotting immediately. You can't wait. If you wait, the clot can extend and be incredibly serious.
And this is going to be so significant, you're not going to mistake it for something else.
No, the pain is going to be severe and progressive. You have sudden pain anywhere in your body that's severe and progressive, you better to go to the emergency room for nothing and have your D-dimer blood test come back normal and you feel relieved, than to miss a clot that can extend with horrible consequences.
And we should emphasize, this is only, as far as the vaccines, I mean, if you have other medical problems, yes, you may have to go to an emergency room. But if you
a clot, yeah. But we have now association 12 to 14 days after you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, if you get severe pain anywhere in your body, head for the emergency room. It's better to go there for nothing than to miss the diagnosis.
But also the news so far is this is only Johnson & Johnson. If you got the other vaccines...
75 million Americans have not had any of this reported who got the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines.
Some people on social media have posted this as a joke, and some were posting it as a criticism of the modern medical movement as it is, where they say, you just know 10 years from now we're going to see TV commercials for a lawyer saying, were you harmed by the fill-in-the-name-here vaccine? You have money coming to you. Is this something that we're going to, in your opinion, based on what, I guess more it's a human nature question, we're going to see people coming after the manufacturers, not just Johnson & Johnson, but all of them for any perceived slight?
The government has passed laws now where these vaccines are being rushed through, and the companies are pretty much protected by government regulations.
So, in other words, you won't be able to sue them on that. They have indemnity.
Well, I hope not, because we have a pandemic where we're losing hundreds of thousands of people dying, and suddenly we have an answer called herd immunity, where if you can immunize enough people, you can shut off this pandemic. You're not going to shut it off. We're going to have this darn virus around 50 years from now if we don't have immunization.
And your answer to anybody who asks, should I get vaccinated with the remaining two, is yes, and don't care which one.
That's correct. And it's your duty to get vaccinated because it's your service to fellow man.
And we should also emphasize, in all the discussion we had in the original show, Dr. Merkin said, yes, go get the vaccine, whether it's Johnson & Johnson or Moderna. It does not matter. But now that there is other information that you say is not being generally reported, you can see why the CDC is pulling this.
Well, they're erroring if they're erroring on the side of caution, and that's good medicine because we have other vaccines. If that were the only vaccine, I think we would have had a different response. But we have Moderna and Pfizer that have no concerns reported at all yet. Get that to stop the pandemic.
And by the way, it could be that they eventually say, we have determined that Johnson & Johnson is safe enough and return to using it?
Yes, we might, because one in a million, my goodness. But you're talking about the whole world having a potential shot at the vaccine.
And
incidentally, we got 75 million Americans have had the other vaccines. I think it's only 6 or 7. It's almost 7 million.
6.8
Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
So it's 7 million for Johnson & Johnson, and 150 million for the other two vaccines.
But I'm just thinking that ultimately it could be cleared. A, they could say, well, now wait a minute. We found that there could be other reasons for this, and the vaccine is completely safe as any vaccine can be. In other words, it's no better or worse.
Yes, they can say that. Because right now we're dealing with if we're making a mistake, it's to be cautious, not to be dangerous.
It's just, again, and I'll criticize my own profession here. Sometimes the media is not very thorough in reporting why there is a problem, why we want to stop using it for now, or why they want to look into it. But
I think that overall now the message is getting through. The reason you're getting immunized is to stop the pandemic and save lives. You getting the vaccine will help save other people's lives.
And we'll end it there and start the original podcast, the original broadcast that you heard on WRTA now. Doug Herendeen, good morning. And we have with us the one and only Dr. Gabe Merkin. Good morning, Dr. Merkin.
Good morning, Doug.
And again, if you have any questions, do call in. Earlier is better than later. We have a lot of questions about COVID, the J&J vaccine, and everything else that we will get to. But somebody who took our advice and does call in early here, we have, let's see, Eleanor in Duncansville. Good morning. You're on with Dr. Gabe Merkin.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
If a healthy 52-year-old has been diagnosed with systemic sclerosis and her pulmonary function is 138 and her pulmonary artery pressure is 35, what is her prognosis? She is an avid runner and can do 5 miles without a problem.
All right. Systemic sclerosis means that for some unknown reason, we don't know the cause, you get scar tissue. And scar tissue replaces normal tissue in your skin, so you can get scars on your skin. You can get it in your joints, so your joints hurt. And you can get it in your organs, like your lungs, as in your case. And that means your lungs are affected, as it can also affect your kidneys also. And there's no way of predicting, because it's incredibly variable. It can cause rapid damage to your lungs or heart, or you can go with skin scarring for 50 years, for a very long time, so nobody really knows. What's in your strong favor is that you're active. This is a disease caused by inflammation, and I'll explain that to you. Your own immunity is good for you because it's supposed to kill germs when they try and get into your body. But if your own immunity stays active all the time, it uses the same cells and chemicals that it uses to kill germs to attack you. And that's what happens to you. You have scarring because your own immunity is attacking your own tissue just the same way it attacks invading germs. So the treatment, of course, and this is not completely accepted, but the treatment is to do everything to dampen down your immunity. And the way you can do that is you avoid, you exercise every day, which you do. So that's going to protect you and prolong your life and prevent a lot of the complications. You're supposed to eat a diet that's called anti-inflammatory. That means you should not be eating mammal meat, fried food. You should not be eating sugar-added foods. You should not, you should drink only water or drinks without any calories in them, because liquid sugar causes a high rise in blood sugar, which turns on your immunity to cause inflammation. Your doctor may be giving you drugs to decrease your immunity, or he may not, depending on how severe your problem is. Do you have any other specific questions?
No, I don't think so. Nope, you answered.
But be glad about your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is good. It's going to prolong your life. Exercise is a necessary part of your treatment.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Eleanor, thank you. We wish you well. 946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA with Dr. Gabe Merkin. We have another call from Dan in Altoona. Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor. Good morning, Doug. Now, Doctor, did you see that piece on 60 Minutes last night?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, anyways, on the USS Roosevelt, there was 1,200 sailors that come down with the virus. Okay, but what happened was that what they did for the rest of the 5,000 people that were on that vessel, that they had a little capsule, a little bit of a capsule. Now, I don't know, then they put it on their body somehow. I don't know if it was in their pocket or in their skin itself and everything. And what it did, it determined different functions of the body. And there was a little chip in there, and it was only probably the size of your baby fingernail. And everything, and it was incredible. It worked real good. Now, it goes back to what you said, the beginning of this virus. It's nothing short of a miracle what these scientists have done and what they've created and developed in this vaccine in such a short period of time. Now, back on that little capsule, What do you think about something like that?
Well, I don't know what the capsule was. I'm sorry to tell you that. We don't watch television at all. Do you know what was the capsule told?
It basically told what infections the body was developing or has, and what some of their vital signs were.
I found some information
all
here,
right,
from 60
I understand now. What happens is the major problem when you get COVID-19 is clotting. Clotting is very dangerous because you can get clotting in your lungs, you can get it in your heart, you can get it anywhere in your body. And what they're doing is the clotting is driven by inflammation of your overactive immunity that I mentioned earlier. And what it does is it measures inflammation, most likely, and that tells you that it's a more serious case. Now, you don't give everybody medications that they were giving, and I don't know what they use, but the chip didn't save lives. The chip told the doctors that these people were very sick, and then they gave them either monoclonal antibodies or something else that has been shown to be effective in treating people who are very sick with COVID-19.
Okay. Now, Doug, did you pull up something that maybe can...
Yeah, this is, let's see, I'm trying to put the context on this. He's with, this is a guy that Colonel Matt Hepburn, an infectious disease physician, spent years with a secretive defense advanced research projects agency, or DARPA. He's working on technology that hopes will ensure COVID-19 is the last pandemic. And skipping down here, he says, as Bill Whitaker reports on CBS, he showed us a few current projects, some that sound like they're from an episode of Star Trek. Consider a ship like the USS Theodore Roosevelt, hobbled last year when 1,271 crew members tested positive for coronavirus. What if everyone on board had their health monitored with this subdermal implant now in its late stage testing? It's not some dreaded government microchip that tracks your every move, but a tissue-like gel engineered to continuously test your blood. And Dr. Hepburn says that's a sensor. Bill Whitaker, this tiny green thing here, Dr. Hepburn. That tiny green thing there you put in underneath your skin, and what that tells you is that there are chemical reactions going on inside your body, and that signal means that you're going to have symptoms tomorrow. Bill Whitaker, wow, there's an actual transmitter in that. Dr. Hepburn, it's like a check engine light. Bill Whitaker, check this sailor out before he infects people. Dr. Hepburn, that's right. Sailors would get a signal, then self-administer a blood draw and test themselves on sight.
Yes, I would say the two things that COVID-19 is doing is it's causing clots and inflammation. And you can measure, there are several tests available to measure your susceptibility to clotting and your susceptibility to an overactive immunity. And then that's not enough. That just tells that these people need to get treated, and they can treat these people. So it's a predictor of severity of disease.
But that's part of the advanced science. Yes.
That's not practical to use for the whole world, but it's practical to use in a site where everybody's being exposed to find out which people need to take the medication. Or if you have enough medication, you can give it to everybody in the hope that you're saving some lives.
So would this be an advanced cure?
No, it's not a cure at all. All it is a sensor that tells you that people are going to get very sick.
It's a diagnostic tool.
Yes, it's diagnostic. It tells you that the person has... we have those tests. When you go to the emergency room and the doctor expects suspects that you might have a clot, say, in your lungs or somewhere, he does a blood test called D-dimer. That's the same type of thing. If you have a high D-dimer blood test, that suggests that you may have a clot in your body and you have to be treated with drugs to prevent the clot. Well, the same thing is the people who are going to get sick with COVID-19 also have their immunity turns on incredibly fast. And we do have tests like C-reactive protein and many other tests, SED rate and so forth, that will measure an overactive immunity. And all that is a signal that let's treat these people.
So then so there is some merit to having something like that.
Oh, yes, but you can't take 200 billion, how many billion people on this earth, and put them all on the test. You have to do it when there's an epidemic, and you can say, well, let's check all these people, and we can tell who's going to get sick, and we'll put them on medication.
Okay,
we do have medicine that appears to help treat COVID-19.
Well, thank you very much for your time, you and Doug. Thank you very much.
Dan, thanks very much. And I'll tell you what, I sent Dr. Merkin a copy of the 60 Minutes article, and I'm also posting it on our Facebook page. When we do the podcast later, I have links about what we discuss, and I'll put that on there as well. Doctor, any final thought before we go to break here?
No, but thank you. That was a very quick response on your part. I'm very grateful.
I know how some people are going to react to this, and it's not going to be favorable. But that's a story for another time. We'll continue, but if you have any questions for Dr. Gabe Merkin, we will talk a little bit more about COVID vaccines and some other things next. But any medical question you have, 814-946-0435.
Get on board. 946-0435. Your calls are next on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
It's finally spring. That means baseball games, fishing trips, golf, and drinking beer. So why not get the coldest beer around from Cove Beverage? Whether it's a keg case or a 6 or 12 pack, Cove Beverage has been the go-to place for your favorite beer for over 25 years. Right now at Cove Beverage, get a 24 pack of Miller Lite cans for $16.75. The coldest beer you'll ever drink at affordable prices. That's Cove Beverage. 8505 Woodbury Pike. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 9 to 10:30. Sunday, noon to 5. Celebrate spring with Cove Beverage.
Finally, spring has arrived, and so have all new Untuckit styles. Check out our new wrinkle-free shirts that every guy needs as the weather warms up. And don't forget our famous polos, the official shirts of spring. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked and will look great as we get back to the things we've been missing, like dinner with friends, reuniting with family, going on vacations, and yes, even heading back to the office. Untuckit shirts designed to be worn untucked. Use code TAKE20 for 20% off your first purchase at untuckit.com.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. Aired by the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Same great talk, better sound. This is Central PA's first FM talk station. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
814-946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA, the 11th hour with Doug Herendeen and Dr. Gabe Merkin. Getting on to some other things about vaccines, and this I ask every time we start simply because it kind of gets lost in all the news about COVID. Is it too late to get a flu shot if I haven't had one yet? I had one last fall, but if I'm somebody who hasn't had one yet, should I bother to get one now?
Yes, and let me tell you what's very exciting. People who have gotten a flu shot get a higher antibody response when they're exposed to COVID-19. That means that getting one infection primes your immunity so your immunity can respond more actively to another different infection, even though you're not protected against that infection. So you get the flu shot to protect you from the flu and to possibly decrease the severity of COVID-19 if you get it after that.
So get the thing, even though you say, well, you know,
you're getting higher antibody titers in response to a second viral infection.
See, part of the problem, I think, is because we're in spring now officially, and we've had some 70-degree days, so people are like, what, there's no flu anymore.
Well, there's less flu, but we've got everything. But the message is you should get the pneumonia vaccine. You should get the flu vaccine. If you're in an area that's exposed to certain infections that we have vaccines, you should take the vaccine. Incidentally, this COVID-19 epidemic has a good side. Do you know that we've had messenger RNA vaccines in research for 30 years, more than 30 years. But we didn't go anywhere. And because of the epidemic, research has drafted itself up so much, gained so much, that we were able to develop a vaccine against COVID-19 in a very short time. Well, these same training principles that developed the COVID-19 vaccine that does work can also be used to treat cancer, to treat herpes, to treat mononucleosis, to treat malaria. In fact, we already have vaccines for all of those things being tested right now. This is an exciting time. We've been stimulated to do research now to break open treatments for other diseases also.
With Dr. Gabe Merkin, 946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA. There are a couple different stories. I'll just try to summarize these quickly about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. This is the one and done. You don't have to get it twice as far as we know now. North Carolina has suspended use of it after about 3 to 8 people developed flu-like symptoms. I think somebody got lightheaded, blood clotting. There's a report out of Europe about blood clotting problems with Johnson & Johnson. Again, about 8 people. This is according to the New York Post. And a New York City woman got COVID 3 weeks after getting the J&J vaccine, a woman from Brooklyn. And she's recovering now, but still 3 weeks after. And she was led to believe, well, you know, 2 weeks after this, I'm completely protected. And something else from that, there was one of the articles that said, if I can find it on the notes here, that you... I'm trying to find the exact quote. Oh, the vaccine does not necessarily prevent you from getting COVID. It prevents you from being hospitalized or dying from it. How accurate is that?
See, what it does is it gives you an immune response. The vaccine gives you some protection, but it may not be enough to prevent you from getting the disease. But to have it kill you or make you so sick, there is the evidence is overwhelming that people who are vaccinated, if they do get COVID-19, will have a far less severe disease. That means less death, less hospitalization, less severe sickness, and everything else. Also, it does protect you, but it doesn't protect everybody. The fact that you've been immunized doesn't mean you can't get the disease. It means you still can get the disease even though you're less likely to get it, and it means you're far less likely to get serious disease.
Are you less likely to transmit it to somebody else after you've had the vaccination?
Yes, you're less likely. But the point is that you can be totally protected because your antibody titers in your blood are adequate, so the germ can't get into your bloodstream. But it can live in your lungs and your colon even though you are protected. So people who are immunized can carry the virus in their intestines and lungs and give it to somebody else potentially, even though they themselves cannot be infected.
Well, where we're going with that is obviously people are going to say, oh, so we're going to be wearing, because I've read some speculation, we're going to be wearing masks for another year. Is that reasonable?
That may be true. The current recommendations are that we better protect ourselves from exposure. And remember, COVID-19 is an indoor disease primarily spread by breathing air indoors where people congregate. That's where you're going to get it. You're really at incredibly low risk outdoors. We know that the virus can spread 6 feet with a cough, but we're not finding out many people getting infected from 6 feet. 3 feet appears to be adequate. So the rule most of the communities are now using is 3 feet exposure outdoors. But indoors, the virus, where people congregate, the virus accumulates continuously to increase your risk of getting COVID-19.
So if you see a group of people outside, chances are they're not going to spread it unless they're packed like sardines, or?
That's correct. It means that when you're outside, the air is not accumulating large amounts of the virus. Do you know that there's a study that showed that in an airplane, you can get 1,000 times the concentration of the virus when you finish the plane ride as when it was in the air when you started the plane ride, because the air is recirculating and the virus is accumulating. So it's indoor air where the people congregate. That's what you should worry about. Outdoors, you can still get the virus, but you're far less likely to get it.
Okay, well, two things about that before we go to the break here for news at the half hour. I remember a story that you told several years ago when COVID-19 did not exist, as far as we know. There was a year that you didn't get a flu shot, and you were on an airplane, and you got the flu, and you were very sick because of it. And you said, "No, I should have got the flu shot. So use me as an example and get the darn shot next time." I have read stories, and I have had people argue on this radio station. Oh, see, if you go on an airplane, the air is so much better because it's recirculated, and they take care of it, and they filter it out. And that's why they can have people packed in like sardines in an airplane, and they're fine. And you got to wear a mask, though. But if you're out in the open and you're not wearing a mask, you're putting people at risk, and that's completely wrong. I'm getting conflicting stories here
and
from the national media.
A lot of misinformation, and that's very common. People are making themselves experts on a subject about which they know absolutely nothing. And there are a lot of people who are making statements that just aren't true. The truth of the matter is, be very careful, even if you're immunized, in indoor air where people congregate, even though you are significantly protected, you are not completely protected. Continue to wear masks, even if you're immunized, as a public service. Remember something. The data now is showing that the highest concentration of ignorant people have the highest concentration of refusing to take the vaccine. If you look at educational levels, you will find that the people with the most education are the ones who are most likely to take the vaccine, and the groups that have the least common education are the ones that have the highest percentage of people who are turning down the vaccine. You are getting the vaccine to stop this pandemic and save the human race from this going on forever. And you have to hear this again. Smallpox stayed around overwhelmingly for 10,000 years until we got the vaccination. We have lists of every summer from 1918 to 1958 of how many people died and were paralyzed from polio. And the same number of people died and were paralyzed from polio during the summer from 1918 to 1958 until we got the vaccine. And then the incidence of paralysis and death from polio went down close to zero.
I find it interesting that since I was a kid, when I was a kid, vaccines were still looked at as the medical miracle of the age, and you read very little critique of them or criticism of them. And in the past 20 years, there's been more of a drumbeat to the point where now we have smallpox is making a comeback in some parts of the world, whooping cough is, measles are in the United States, because people are just not doing vaccinations anymore.
Your least educated people, your people with the least knowledge, are the ones most likely to turn down the vaccine.
I would say that maybe that's your view of it, but I have to tell you, I've seen some rather educated people who will go on TV and basically tell people really dumb things at times.
I would agree with you, but their percentage is much smaller.
What percentage of the population do we have to have get vaccinated before we're going to be safe on this? By the way, the original vaccine was supposed to be effective 97% of the time. Now we're hearing 72%. Do we hear 50% in about a month?
We're getting mutations. And incidentally, some of the mutations aren't so bad. The bad mutations occurred are the mutations that came out of South Africa. They are frightening. The virus... Some of the mutations from the virus in South that came out of South Africa and spread to the world, some of these mutations are resistant to the vaccine.
And are we working on variants of that?
In England and so forth that don't affect, you're just as susceptible as the regular virus.
814-946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA. The 11th Hour, Doug Herendeen with Dr. Gabe Merkin. And we have a question from Gary in Duncansville. You're on WRTA.
Hello, gentlemen. Hi, I'm Gary. I developed COVID in November. And then in December, I got what's called ITP. I had bruises all over my body. And my blood platelets went to 2,000. I was hospitalized and had treatment. Anyway, I'm on the road to recovery as far as my platelets go. They've been steadily coming up. They're 113 now. And I was wondering what your recommendation is about getting a COVID shot now.
There is no research data available today. Let me tell our listeners what you already know. ITP means that your own immunity is attacking your own clotting factor so you can bleed, and we're terrified that you can get a hemorrhage bleeding somewhere into your body. Now, the treatment for ITP is to give you drugs to shut down your immunity. So the rule is that if you're on a drug to shut down your immunity, like steroids or cortisone, you should not be taking the vaccine, only because we're afraid that the immunosuppressive drugs will decrease your immunity. And also, if you get the disease, you're in trouble because your immunity can't kill the COVID-19 virus. So we don't know at this point. My gut feeling is that you should take the vaccine, but I have no data to substantiate its use or its safety. And again, the problem is, are you taking any medicine now for your ITP?
I just finished steroids last week, and when in hospital, I received antibody treatments in order to bring my platelets up.
Which is very good. They gave you antibodies to protect, the monoclonal antibodies, which we have to treat the disease if you have. But the message that I have to give you is that most of the doctors are recommending that you get immunized, even though we have no data. And the concern is that you was on cortisone, which suppresses your immunity, which means that if you get the infection, you will have a more severe disease because you can't get an immune response to protect you against the disease because of the drugs you were taking to treat your ITP. I'm sorry I can't give you a definitive diagnosis. You'll have to check with your doctor. My gut feeling is you would benefit from trying the vaccine, but I have no data to substantiate that.
All right, what about the two different vaccines? Which one would be preferable?
Well, I think the messenger RNA is preferable because it's not likely to trip off a bleeding. Specifically, but the answer is I have no data, and neither does anybody else.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, I wish I had a better answer.
Yes, Gary, we wish you well on that. Thank you very much, and take care. 946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA with Dr. Gabe Merkin. Just before we finish things on the Johnson & Johnson, since Gary brought that up, I recall you speaking on this program before. I asked you, if you're offered a certain vaccine, should you wait for the other? You said get whatever the first vaccine is that is offered to you and take that, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now, does what we've talked about on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and I'll, full disclosure, I'm scheduled to get mine this Wednesday, and I was not given a choice. I called and made an appointment. It was the first one I could get after I was legally within the group of people that could get one. They said, oh, by the way, it's Johnson & Johnson. They told me that after they made it, and they, I guess, waited for a response of, oh, I don't want that. It's like, okay, fine. So I shouldn't be concerned about that, even though anecdotally I've heard from people who've gotten it, and they had no reaction whatsoever.
I'm really glad you asked that. That's an incredibly important question, and everybody else has the same question. I am sorry to tell you that the clotting problems with Johnson & Johnson, they occur only one per 77,000 immunizations. That clotting problem is real. It is a real concern because they found that the people are making antibodies that are destroying their platelets, which are the clotting mechanism. So we have now two studies that show that the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, on the rare occasions, one in 76,000, can cause a clotting problem. And clots, of course, can be very serious, because if you get a hot clot in your lungs or your heart, that clot can seriously harm you. So, yes, what about the odds? One in 76,000. Everybody is better off being protected than not being protected. But I'm afraid the clotting problem with the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca is real and looks like it's a side effect. Fortunately, it's incredibly rare.
Okay. Like I said, I know people that got it had absolutely no problem with it. I know other people got the Johnson & Johnson, and they felt like they were hit by a truck for about 24 hours, and they felt fine.
Well, we're not worried about being very sick, because that's most of the vast majority of those people get better with no treatment and no problem at all. The concern is that one in 73,000 might have a clotting problem, and that could be serious.
Okay, so, but here's the thing. So I'm going this Wednesday to get the Johnson & Johnson. Should I be concerned?
Well, if you're worried about one in 76,000, the answer is yes, you should be concerned. Incidentally, this clotting problem has not been established with the other vaccines, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines.
But the Johnson & Johnson is one and done.
And the but AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson have been implicated in the problem. It's not all. You know, written in gold, but the message is it looks like there is a rare clotting side effect with Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca.
All right, say you get the vaccine, you're feeling not fantastic because of it. How would you know that you've got a clotting problem? What signs would you look for?
You'll get pain, but then it can be too late. You could have a clot in your lungs. In other words, all I can say is there are blood tests for clotting. There's a blood test that they do routinely in every emergency room in America called D-dimer that measure if you have a clotting problem right away. That's what happens when you come in with a pain, sudden pain in your lungs or your leg or your brain or anything. They draw the blood test, D-dimer.
Well, I don't know. See, this is not giving me a great comfort here, because you're saying, yeah, there is maybe a real problem here. But if you have a choice of getting the vaccine or not getting the vaccine, which would
I would
if it
get
were
the
you?
Vaccine, because that's the same risk I have of getting in a car and getting in a crash.
And nobody thinks about that.
Yes, and or getting on an airplane and getting in a crash. I guess a crash in airplanes is less often, but we think about it more.
Yeah.
But the message is, yes, there is a concern about clotting with the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines that has not been reported with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines.
I find it interesting that the Pfizer and Moderna, they were the ones that were developed with the new technology, and people are like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'd like a traditional vaccine. Then we get the Johnson & Johnson. People are like, oh, well, I don't know that I like the idea of it being developed, and now it's got a problem.
Well, you know, your knowledge is absolutely incredible. I will tell you that the Johnson and the AstraZeneca vaccines are the two vaccines that are made of giving you a virus. In other words, they take a chimpanzee virus that doesn't harm humans at all, or they take an adenovirus that doesn't harm humans at all, and they attach a piece of the COVID-19 virus to it, and that's how you get your immunity. That's the one that's been associated with the clot. The type that's the Moderna and the Pfizer messenger RNA means they manufacture a genetic material in the laboratory, and they give you that genetic material that's destroyed by your own body within an hour or two, and that is not associated with the clotting.
But get the vaccine as opposed to just sit around and wait for the other vaccine.
To not get the vaccine, I think, is showing your disregard and disrespect for other humans, because you're not helping other humans, and you're increasing your own risks for getting it. Incidentally, the vast majority of people don't get any trouble with COVID-19. The people who are getting in trouble are people with immune defects. If you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you have an immune defect, if you have an overactive immunity that's treated with drugs to suppress your immunity, you can be in serious trouble with COVID-19. But the average person who's not over 65 and not diabetic and not hypertensive, he's not at significant risk. He's at possible risk, but he's at incredibly low risk for these side effects.
Before we go to the break here, an email I wanted to get in. Extensive blood work requested by endocrinologist. Kidney and liver function excellent. HbA1c is 5.8. Lipids in desired range. Total cholesterol is 170. LDL is 90. What does a good doctor make of the thyroid results? And then there are some other numbers here that I sent along with that. What would you say here?
I would say that he has a condition called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune disease where his own immunity is so stupid that instead of just attacking germs, it's attacking and destroying his own thyroid. He's going to probably take thyroid hormone replacement, and it'll work very well to suppress his thyroid and help protect him from further thyroid disease.
Is it another, we don't have time to bring it up now, but Gary Shandling passed away at a relatively young age, and he had some type of thyroid problem. Is this in any way similar?
No, it's not at all. Gary Shandling had most likely a tumor of his parathyroid gland, which controls his calcium. So he was told he had a high calcium. He said that on television. I have a high calcium. And the doctors did not, as far as I know, make the diagnosis as to why he had a high calcium. Well, a high blood calcium can cause an irregular heartbeat, which caused his heart attack and killed him. He died from a heart attack. Well, the treatment for high calcium is to get a parathyroid test, because that gland, a tumor of that gland, can cause high calcium, and that's a curable disease. You remove the tumor, and the calcium returns to normal, and you're not at increased risk for a heart attack.
But as far as our own listener here, they're going to need some type of medication to balance this out, and that should be...
Yes, and that's highly treatable. We have a very good treatment for thyroid damage from autoimmune disease, which is what he has.
We'll continue with Dr. Gabe Merck in one more segment. Going to ask a question about a story that was over the weekend reported by UPMC.
The opinions you hear on WRTA are the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or advertisers.
Spring into savings at Dean Patterson Chevrolet. Lease the 2021 Traverse all-wheel drive 1LT. Pay $399 for 36 months. The 2021 Trax all-wheel drive LS. Pay $229 for 36 months. And the 2021 Trailblazer all-wheel drive. $295 for 36 months. Put $2,500 down on any one of these vehicles and your first payment and fees are covered. All incentives and conquest rebates included with 2007 or newer trade of a non-GM product. Spring into savings with Dean Patterson Chevrolet. 101 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
If you're worried about about your hard-earned dollars becoming worthless or your 401k or IRA losing value, now is the time to move into gold. No, not gold or silver stocks, but real gold and silver you can actually hold in your hands. How do you get real gold and silver? By calling Oxford Gold today at 833-600-GOLD. The Oxford Gold Group will teach you everything you need to know about owning real gold and silver. It's a lot easier than you think. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD to get your free gold and silver investment guide. Put your savings and retirement accounts into something real, like gold and silver. Get your free Oxford Gold Group investment guide today and learn how easy it is to have real gold and silver delivered to your home or how you can have real gold and silver in your retirement account. Don't sit back and watch your savings and retirement accounts suffer. Now is the time to make your money work as hard for you as you did for your money. So do this. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now, today, 833-600-GOLD. That's 833-600-G-O-L-D.
It's good to be the leader. This is Central PA's first FM talk station. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
9460435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA. We have a call from Joe, and I want to get to you, sir, but I just want to make mention of this story that was in the Altoona Mirror over the weekend, written by William Kibler. Blood cancers may blunt vaccine. UPMC says many patients aren't developing COVID-19 antibodies who are in this situation. What is your take on the story?
Yes. The point is that people who have immune defects, any defect in their immunity, aren't going to make antibodies to protect them as well as normal people do, so they're at increased risk for trouble. That's the message, that if you have blood cancers, you're any one of them. And the drugs that we use to treat blood cancers suppress your immunity, so you can't make protective antibodies to protect you. So people who have anything that decreases their immunity are at high risk for trouble with COVID-19. Normal people under 65 without diabetes, without high blood pressure, without blood cancer, without serious immune defects are relatively protected by their own immunity against COVID-19.
Some other lines from that article, that doesn't necessarily mean that the vaccinations won't help those cancer patients because the immune system is complex. There are many other elements besides antibodies that can fight off the disease. And skipping down a few paragraphs, monoclonal antibody therapy can prevent hospitalization and death if given within 10 days of onset of symptoms, UPMC and other organizations have found.
Yes, that's the point, that if you have a disease where your immunity is impaired, where you can't make antibodies, we can give you antibodies. And yes, monoclonal antibodies that they inject into you in the hospital can save your life if you have an immune defect and you're and you have COVID-19.
Again, that was on the weekend, Altoona Mirror edition, and I'll link that in the notes on the podcast when
but
we post that later.
But doctors have effective treatments for immune defects with COVID-19. Get to the hospital if you think you have COVID-19, an immune defect.
All right, and we have Joe in Altoona. You're on WRTA, and this may play into some of what we were just discussing.
Hi, good morning. My question is, somebody on blood thinner, Plavix perhaps, how does that Johnson & Johnson blood clotting problem affect them, or does it?
Well, it may protect you. If you're in an anti-clotter, you may. But again, we don't have any data. Nobody yet has published a study to show how much you're protected by taking anti-clotting medicines. Nobody. So I can't tell you that it's safe. My opinion is, I have this gut feeling that yes, that's how we treat serious disease. If you have a serious COVID, they're going to give you anti-clotting agents because the cause of death with codeine is bleeding, and you're taking a medicine to help. I mean, it's clotting, not bleeding. It's clotting. So you're taking a medicine to prevent clotting. Yes, I think it's reasonable, but I have no data.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Joe, thanks very much, and we wish you well. In the time we have left here, several somebodies have been seeing this in the national news for some time now, where people are starting to suggest, and this is not necessarily doctors, this is commentators, what they're hearing from doctors leads them to believe, oh, we're going to have a booster shot every year for this, much like you have a flu shot every year, but it'll be a COVID shot every single year. We're going to be right back to the same thing.
I'm glad you asked that. In 2003, we had a major epidemic of SARS virus 1. This is SARS virus 2. The SARS virus 1 and SARS virus 2 are in the same family of viruses, the coronaviruses. Well, we now have followed, we have published data on people who got infected with SARS 1 17 years ago. And they are still immune. So people who got SARS-1 17 years ago still have antibodies to protect them, and it is very likely. We only have 7 months. Now, we know that people who got infected or immune 7 months ago still have antibodies. But it looks like SARS-2 will be like SARS-1, and you'll get many, many years of protection like the people got with SARS-1.
And just we have about 30 seconds left, but just to emphasize, we still know less than what we do know about COVID, correct? There's more we don't know.
We have lots to learn, and we can only speak with authority when we have data. And a lot of people are speaking without data, and they should be starting every sentence with my opinion, because it's only their opinion. They don't have data.
Dr. Merkin's website is drmirkin.com, drmirkin.com. Dr. Merkin, thank you very much.
Thank you. You gave a great show, Doug.